Kingway, Fox, Beer, Locus, acting very weird. Captain Pike, Sisko's wife, Klingons and the afterlife. Boimler, Tendi's dog, Ransom is very hard. Spore Drive, Black Alert, Giorgio has gone berserk. Teacher, bad left, Edward is an idiot. Spock is dead, Worf is wed, Chekhov's wearing red. Data's cat, Kim Peck's sat, Q has had enough of that. Beam me up, make it so, everybody let's go.
We talk about the series, you can join us live by picking up your phone now. We talk about the series, we're coming to you on your streaming services now. We talk about the series,
well, good evening, trekkers around the globe. It is Thursday night, October 13th, 2002. It is 7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, which means we are live, which means you can let your fingers do your walking and call Trek Talking at 646-668-2433. We would love to hear from you guys. We have a great show planned for you tonight. Of course, we're going to be talking about Star Trek Lower Decks episode, A Mathematically Perfect Redemption. But more than that, we have our New York City Comic-Con coverage, and there's a lot to talk about. We have a Discovery Season 5 first look trailer. We have the mid-season trailer for Prodigy and a brand new Star Trek Picard, the final season trailer. We're going to play all three of those trailers for you and discuss them in great length and detail. But wait, there's more. We also have convention calendar, fan shout-outs, fan scores of last week's episode, and Shatner says, what? As well as Star Trek birthdays. So settle in. We're going to have some fun. But first, I want to introduce to you guys my Trekspurts. We don't have our trifecta from Portland tonight because Eric is flying on a jet plane to Phoenix, Arizona, maybe Tacoma. I don't know. But he's not with us. So also, we do have from Portland our very own donut slash macaroni guy, David. How you doing, David?
Just kind of a sleep still. I kind of woke up a little late today and still kind of groggy, so I'm good now.
Yeah, well, this show will wake you up. We have a lot of Trek talking for tonight. And we also have hailing from Portland as well, our very own Paul the Toy slash Wine Guy. How you doing, Paul?
Brother, I'm doing great. It is a high energy day. A lot of stuff cranking in the wind today. Been at it since before the break of dawn, and no sign of stopping, brother. So things are good. All kinds
it's
of good
Friday
stuff in the wind
Eve.
Today. Exactly.
Friday
Eve it is, my friend.
So that'll be good. And also, hailing from Las Vegas, we have our very own Charles. How you doing tonight, Charles?
I'm doing good. I guess Eric's leaving on a jet plane.
Yep. I don't know where he's going. Anyone know where he's going?
I didn't hear he was leaving. So if he's heading towards Arizona, Phoenix area, then he's going to enjoy the same heat we're getting.
He is actually going to the lovely land of Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think he's got the desert gene. He's off
it'll
to Wisconsin, different points of the compass.
It'll be cooler in Wisconsin. It won't be in the 90s in Wisconsin, I hope.
Now, that's the Cheeseheads, right? Are the Cheeseheads in Wisconsin?
Yes.
I think they may be. But according to
Wisconsin
Eric, we're speaking and having this very sentence be spoken right here, right now, he's actually airborne at this very moment. So that's why he's not able to join us. So.
He's not able to join us.
He's got a phenomenal excuse. So we'll just have to serve him proud in his stead.
Yeah, so we're going to have to try to fill his shoes. My big news, though, that I want to share with all you guys right now, my Trekspurts heard it before the show, so they're actually hearing it for the second time, but you guys are hearing it for the first time. We have a brand new website set up, and our new web address is www.trektalking.com. That's right, trektalking.com. You don't have to go anywhere else but there, trektalking.com. I'll say it one more time, trektalking.com. You go to trektalking.com, and at trektalking.com, you will find a link to our Facebook page. You will find a link to our YouTube page. You will find a link to our Instagram and a link to our Twitter. There's also a new button on there which allows you guys, if you're not listening to us live right now, which is fine, because I know the majority of our listeners don't because of the time zone differences and, or, you know, the continental divide and whatnot. So that's fine. You can still interact with us live, which is the coolest thing. So normally you would call 646-668-2433. And yours truly, Uncle Jim, would say hello, and we would be talking right now. But if you can't do that, if you're not listening on Thursday night, if it's Tuesday or Sunday or Wednesday or whatever day, you can go to our Facebook or to our new website, trektalking.com. In the bottom right-hand corner, you see a little microphone. You click on that microphone, and you have 13 seconds to leave us a message. And I will download those messages and play them on the show as a soundbite. So even if you're in Australia, for instance, you can still be part of the show. So you can just go to trektalking.com and leave us a message, and I will play it on the very next show. So that's pretty cool. I've also added a section on our co-host, which is currently being built. The only one that's there right now is just me, but we'll get everybody else added on there as well. And we also have a page on there for donations where you guys can help us out. And that's all set up. We're also looking at a sponsors page. We don't have any right now, but I'm working on it. So once we do, you'll be able to visit all of our wonderful sponsors once we get that up and running. So the website is growing, and I think it's growing in the right direction. So please head on over there, trektalking.com, and check it out. Leave us a message and let me know what you think. It really means a lot to me. So with that out of the way, it is time for our fan shout-outs. And for the fan shout-outs, I used to tell you guys to go to our Facebook page, but now you can go to trektalking.com, click on the Facebook link, and go right to our Facebook page. You don't have to have that extra step. So trektalking.com is pretty cool. Trektalking.com. I like the ring of it. Trektalking.com. Anyways, you will see at the top of the page, Live Long and Prosper. And all you need to do is click there and tell us where you're listening from. Each week, yours truly, Uncle Jim, picks 20 lucky listeners. If you see a heart next to your name, you want to tune into the next podcast because your name is going to be mentioned live and on the air. And normally at this part of the show, we would turn to Eric to get us started, but Eric is flying on a jet plane. So, Paul, who do we start off with this week?
Well, thank you, Uncle Jim. We have all kinds of folks across the globe we like to extend our greetings to who are devoted fans of the show and listeners and devoted Trek experts. First of all, flying a mighty Live Long and Prosper hand sign from Lies in the Netherlands, we have Mitch Lucas, who has given us a mighty shout-out there. So, Mitch, fantastic to hear from you. Thank you so much for being a fan. A little further next door from the Netherlands in Germany, we have Iona Lankutis. And I always love it when we have fans who have names that sound so cool, they sound themselves like they could be Star Trek characters. Iona Lankutis, that sort of has a interstellar Alpha Quadrant ring to it, wouldn't you say? From
Absolutely.
Wonderful Germany. Fantastic. In Poland, representing with the Polish flag flying proudly, Johanna Gertzlach. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Johanna, but thank you so much. What a fantastic country you live in. Wonderful fan, and thank you for reaching out and saying hello. And then from Sweden, I have this wonderful European thing going on here today, and I absolutely love it. All these countries I would love to spend time in. From Sweden, we have Malin Svensson. who is saying hello. All these fantastic folks all across the globe who are Trek Talking fans, who are Star Trek fans, who are sharing the ideals and spreading the love. So thanks for shouting out and saying hello to us. We completely are thrilled to have you being part of our family. Charles, who do you have going on that you want to shout out to?
Well, let's start off with Jim and Rose Neblett in Colorado. Stephen Hunter from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. James Hulk from Pennsylvania. And Scott Hammond from the Gold Coast in Australia. David, who's on your list?
All right. Looks like we've got Jody Bear from Pennsylvania, U.S. Next on the list is Amy Roll from San Marcos, California. Got a top fan here, Bill Perch from Cleveland, Ohio. Last on my list is Jessica Bannister from Houston, Texas, although I think it might be pronounced Houston. I don't know. Paul, back to
well,
you.
Well, it all depends. If you're Zod from Superman 2, it's Houston.
Houston. Who are you in planet Houston?
Houston. So
I love that.
I just watched that the other day. That's why that was in my head. Houston. That's one of my favorite. I love him. I love Christopher Reeve as Superman. And that's one of my favorite movies. So that was on the tip of my tongue.
Terrence Stamp is still alive, man. Wouldn't it be great to be able to get a hold of that guy and say, let's do an entire General Zod movie that's just nothing but General Zod in his old age? I would pay huge sums of money to see that movie.
I didn't really care for the General Zod that they had in the other Superman movie that was out. He didn't have the same vibe, but he did say it that way, though, David. Houston is the way General Zod said it in Superman.
All right. I got your Houston.
Oh, it all depends on your pronunciation. And, Paul, I guess we're jumping back to you again.
I like it, man. I like playing tennis like this, going back and forth. I like it even more when we just go off the rails and start talking about movies and TV. It's like my favorite show dynamic, the sudden aside. But I got more shout-outs here from all over the world, which I absolutely love. From Croatia, with the flag billowing proudly, we have Jurika Mandić. And I'm probably mispronouncing part of that, Jurika. I think it's Jurika. So my apologies there. But fabulous to see that you are a fan of all things Trek. Great to hear from you. And also a huge shout-out to this fan with Live Long and Prosper sign proudly displayed. It is Anthony Bygrave from the fine city of Norwich in Norfolk, England. So thank you, Anthony. It is absolutely wonderful. A lot of my relatives hail from England on my side of the family here. So gotta feel that kinship, brother. So wonderful to hear from you. I just realized I said Anthony, and it's probably pronounced Anthony because in England, of course, we say it that way. So Anthony, forgive me, my friend. And Anthony Bygrave in Norwich, Norfolk. Also, a wonderful communication here from Arthur J. Blyler, Jr. in Wiltz, Luxembourg. Fantastic part of the universe there. Wiltz, Luxembourg, Arthur J. Blyler, thank you so much for being a fan of the show, sir. And finally for me, in Sarpsborg in Norway, we have fan Steinar Berge in Norway there. I got to put that Steinar in top three places on this planet I would go to. I have a friend from Norway is always showing me photographs of phenomenal villages and alpine slopes and just magical places there. I guarantee you at some point I will find my way into that magical land. So thank you all for reaching out to us and spending time in the Trek Talking universe. It always makes the world feel a little bit more closer, a little bit more togetherness when we see how many fans there are spread across the globe. Jim, how about you?
And just on a little sidebar, while we're talking about superhero movies, Ant-Man, the name of his aunt in the first Ant-Man movie was Antony, if you remember. He named his aunt Antony, not Anthony.
I love it.
Antony. So
Anthony,
you know, another,
you know, a pun, English appropriation and a pun. You got to love it.
So, yeah, it was, you know, I've been watching superhero movies. What can I tell you? All right, guys. So our final couple of fan shout outs. First, we want to say thank you and kapla to John Mackey, who's listening to us in Glasgow, Scotland, waving the flag. And that's where my grandmother came from. Glasgow, Scotland, moved to Brooklyn, New York, way back in the roaring 20s. So thank you for listening, John. We have top fan James H. McCoy from Flora, Indiana. And how do you become a top fan? You just go to our Facebook page and interact, and you too can be a top fan, just like James. So thank you for listening, James. We want to say live long and prosper to Carrie Gross, who's listening in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And our final kapla goes out to Richard Gomez Jr., who's listening to us in the Lone Star State of Texas. Now, as I said at the top of the show, guys, if you go to our new website, trektalking.com, that's right, you heard it. I'm going to say it again, trektalking.com. I'm proud of that. There's a little microphone in the corner. You can record a message for us. You can tell us your name and where you're calling from. And instead of reading your name on the show, I'll play it on the show so people can hear it in your own native tongue. Isn't that cool? I think that's pretty cool. So that's just another level that you guys can interact with us, okay? So that wraps up our fan shout-outs, guys. And now it's time for our Star Trek birthdays. So that means we have to hear from Grumpy Worf.
That was not a Klingon song.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we wish our Star Trek members a happy birthday. We always start off with those who, sadly enough, are no longer with us. And I think this part of the show is fun because we get an opportunity to not only look back at these great Star Trek episodes that we've had over the past 57 years, some of the great characters that have been created, but the actors that bring them to life for us and some of the other accomplishments that they've had in their career. So we always start off with those members of our Star Trek family who, sadly enough, are no longer with us. And for that, we turn to Eric. But Eric is flying on a jet plane and isn't with us. So instead, we're going to turn to Paul. So, Paul, who are we remembering tonight? And the first one that's up is a big one for me.
Absolutely, Uncle Jim, because I know how you are, man. You got to be true to your school. And your school is Klingon University, without question, right? And this one is one of the most indelible members of the Klingon universe I can think of. The great Barbara March, okay, who portrayed Sister Lursa of Lursa and Betor, one of the infamous Duras sisters in classic Next Gen episodes, Redemption, Part 1 and 2, Firstborn, Deep Space Nine episode Past Prologue, and in Star Trek Generations, a feature film. Absolutely amazing. I did not realize until this that Barbara March had passed. I didn't know that she had passed away. So I'm kind of a little sad about that. Sounds like we lost her in 2019, right probably at the start of the pandemic. But she is just an indelible figure in Star Trek lore. Lursa and Betor together, all those different appearances there. I know she's, in addition to the ones we mentioned, she's also been in, like, video games like Klingon Honor Guard. She's just inextricably part of the Star Trek universe, has also done many, many different TV appearances, including shows like Night Heat, Blood Ties, L.A. Law, all over the place. Great actress, and I'm proud to say I own a highly coveted Lursa action figure. Well, I have both. I have Lursa and Betor. But that's how much my affection extends for the Duras sisters, okay? But absolutely wonderful person. And wow, we'd never seen female Klingons that much until then, right, Jim?
Nope. And I never had the pleasure of meeting her at a convention. She never came anywhere near where I could get to, so I never had the opportunity to meet her before she passed away, which is sad because I think she's one of the great Klingon villains, and I think they wasted a great opportunity by killing both of them in Generations, because they would have been great villains to have lurking in the shadows of. But
no, without question,
they were great villains. And for you guys who don't know, Lursar is not the cute one. The Klingon joke is that Bator was the cute one. But I don't know by what standard, but Bator was the cute one. So
I would say that you can go with that until you get to the subject of teeth, Uncle Jim, and then you're it's like a whole another realm entirely.
Yeah.
But it's what an incredible acting challenge that the two of them, you know, face together, you know, to portray these characters. Because prior to this, we had seen Klingons as being almost completely male, right? Such masculine, aggressive characters. And so, like, here's your challenge. What is a female Klingon like? I mean, I'm sure as an actor, that was like, wow, a real challenge and a bit of a head scratcher, right? But the two of them together really created such a strong sense of what that would be like, right? And so well. And everybody else who's ever, I think, you know, dipped their toe into getting cast as a Klingon has had to sort of look to Lursa and Bator in terms of, like, how do we tackle this? Because they set the bar. They set it beautifully. So wherever you set sail to, Barbara March, thank you for creating such an incredibly magnificent, rich legacy for the Klingons, for the female Klingons in our world. So we remember you fondly. So thank you so much. Also, in terms of our remembrances right now, we have a few others, folks, who've gone before us that we want to make sure we're spending time to acknowledge. Actor Dallas Mitchell in the original series episode Charlie X played Lieutenant Tom Nellis on that episode, an incredibly prolific actor with tons and tons of credits. A lot of shows, in particular from like the 70s, where it was, I can't even begin to count, Rockford Files, $6 Million Man, one of my favorites, Kojak, SWAT, the FBI, Mannix, Mission Impossible, the Mod Squad, Ironside. I mean, I don't think this cat ever took a day off. It's just constant working. Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, Gunsmoke. I mean, all these, you know, the shows that a lot of us of a certain vintage grew up with, right? And this is no exception. So, of course, to be able to add Star Trek to your legacy as well just shows that you were impossible to miss. And so one of those actors is just constantly part of the fabric of 60s and 70s television. So thanks, Dallas Mitchell. We remember you. We also would like to extend a hearty remembrance to actor Jason Wingreen. I love to stick with the original series, right? And we have a lot of original series here today. In The Empath was Dr. Link in that particular episode. A lot of people are really compelled by that episode. It's a very strange, very unusual original series episode, but people remember it. Jason Wingreen was in a ton of television, a lot of work, in particular in a show called Archie Bunker's Place that you may have watched, a kind of a sequel to All in the Family. Was a recurring character on that show, played a lot of different parts. I think it's really important to point this out because Jason Wingreen has an important legacy in science fiction that I think is important to call out because it's pretty amazing. All right. In there's all kinds of revisionist history in science fiction, but in particular the Star Wars universe. And I'm one of these guys who's a fan of both Star Trek and Star Wars, right? And for those of you who are like-minded and you remember The Empire Strikes Back, before Temuera Morrison got involved, Boba Fett sounded very different. He had a little bit more of a gruffer, kind of rougher voice, more like Richard Boone almost, right? But in the original Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, the original Boba Fett voice, for which he was uncredited, sorry to say, that voice work was done by actor Jason Wingreen, which is just mind-boggling, because given a chance to watch either version of that movie, I'm going with the original. Why? Because I love that voice. He was just way more hardcore. Sorry, Demura, but you can't beat the original. And fantastic job. So we salute you, sir, in the great beyond, wherever you may be. We salute you and acknowledge your work and glad you're part of the Star Trek and Star Wars universes, which is pretty cool. I'm super excited about this next one. I love the unsung heroes of science fiction. To me, they're some of the folks who are absolutely just, you never forget them. And super crazy fans of 60s television will know the name Janos Prohaska. Right? Well, a lot of times you may not. Janos Prohaska could walk in any bar or restaurant in Los Angeles and no one's going to recognize him, right? Because it's almost always costume work for Janos, right? He started off as a stuntman and would very often play characters or monsters where he had to get into a costume to play them, okay? And wow, did he cut a swath through the original series episodes, okay? In The Devil in the Dark, it was Janos Prohaska who got down on his hands and knees to play the Horta, okay? Shuffling around with that crazy costume on top of him. He played the ape-like Mogato in A Private Little War, and my favorite rock monster of all time, Yarnek, the Excalibian from The Savage Curtain. Does my body temperature displease you, Captain Kirk? It's great. So Janos Prohaska was amazing, man. He did all of those parts and more. And if you look at his credits from shows like The Lucy Show, Perry Mason, The Outer Limits, which is one of my favorite sci-fi shows of all time, it pretty much goes to say that during the period of the 60s and the early 70s, if you needed a guy to play a gorilla, you'd call Janos Prohaska, because this guy was played a gorilla in like 100 different things. It's crazy. You needed a big guy who knew how to move convincingly and perform with his body, you called Janos, right? And he is a fixture. You don't recognize him because he's in costume all the time. But, man, this cat did a lot of science fiction and a lot of television. So pretty impressive stuff. He really brought it. And Star Trek fans, if you don't know the original Outer Limits from the early 60s, holy moly, it is stands right next to Star Trek as one of the great science fiction shows of all time. The writing and the mood of it is out of control. Absolutely worth discovering if you have never watched it. Slap out some Blu-rays and check that out, because it is amazing. So, wow, what a career you had, former stuntman Janos Prohaska. You had quite a life, a lot of thing. Passed away in unexpected ways, as you mentioned. Janos and his son were killed along with 34 others in 1974 when a Sierra Airlines plane crashed in California during the middle of production. And the plane flew into a mountain ridge in the middle of the night, and they never really determined the cause of that. But he left a mighty shadow in the world of television and disappeared with as much drama as many of the characters he lived in. So a real name to remember, Star Trek fans, Janos Prohaska. And finally for me, I'd like to send a great big shout out to actor Paul Kent. Any Wrath of Khan fans out there? I think there might be one or two. Paul Kent played in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Commander Beach, in that episode. Another one of these actors who's just mopping the floor with their credits from everything from The West Wing to Frasier to Santa Barbara to Falcon Crest to T.J. Hooker, where he got to work with Shatner again, Lou Grant, you name it. So a prolific actor. These are the journeyman actors who make television and film something special, who are able to inhabit tons of different roles, who very often toil away in anonymity and never get really appreciated. And so if we're doing one little bit of service on Trek Talking from week to week, it's take a couple minutes out of our day and just pause to recognize these unsung heroes of film and television and say thank you. We see you, and even though you've gone beyond, we still appreciate your work, and we delight in what you brought to light with your craft. So it was a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to have a moment to celebrate these things. This is always Eric's turf, and I feel honored to have a chance to spend a night doing this as well, because we love paying homage and respect to those who have gone on before us. And with that, let's turn the page to those who are still among the living and will acknowledge birthdays with my friend Charles. Charles, take it away, sir.
All right. Let's start off. Sorry. With John Lopriano, who played Oberst in Voy's Year of Hell 1 and 2. Only had a few roles he did and quite a few soap opera works. Rosalind Lander appeared in TNG's episode Up the Long Letter as Brianna O'Dell. She started off as a childhood actress, but you look at her trivia, and I thought this was interesting. She has done over 250 audiobooks. She is a very prolific audio reader. I was looking through some of her titles. Most I don't recognize, but there's a couple of Terry Brooks that I probably would love to read one of these days. Brad Greenquist appeared in Voy's Warlord as Damon as Crit on DS9's episode. Was on Warlord as Damon Ants, as Crit on DS9's Who Moans for Morn, and Enterprise's Dawn as Katon Zyar. James Harper appeared in DS9's The Passenger as Ro Vanka. John Christian's Grath appeared in TNG's Disaster as Jay Gordon. But I think the role that caught my attention is the fact between 90 and 95, he played Linus Van Pelt three times. And as Jim knows, I'm a big Peanuts fan. Adam Rayen appeared in TNG's Brothers as Willie Potts. Only acted in the very early 90s and then moved on to writing for a few things. Benita Friderisi played the scientist Rooney and a born drone in Enterprise episode Regeneration. Lauren Rathier, who played Judge Q in Voice episode Q2. And then this one, I am very surprised Jim gave me this one. I think he'd want this one for himself. But a very big happy birthday to Scott Bakula, who played Jonathan Archer, Captain on Enterprise. Also appeared in quite a few major series like Quantum Leap, NCIS, NCIS New Orleans, and I'm probably, you guys could list a dozen others. Otherwise, Paul, who's on your list?
Thanks, man. I'm back again. It's like deja vu all over again. First of all, a massive happy birthday. Oh, man. To the legend, Ben Vereen, who you may know from the Next Gen episode Interface as the father of Geordi LaForge. And how perfect is that casting? But Ben Vereen is a legend, and there is simply no other way to express it. What an incredible career that he's had, from especially during the 60s and 70s, did a ton of incredible work on stage and off. But a lot of people will know Ben Vereen from the phenomenal movie All That Jazz, the great Bob Fosse performance with Roy Scheider, a huge part of that. Fans of the mid-70s television, a legendary show called Roots that I think a lot of people would know, played Chicken George Moore in that show as well. He's been on Grey's Anatomy, it's just ridiculous to even begin to try to do justice to Ben Vereen's career. But legend is about the only word that's appropriate. Happy birthday, sir. I hope you are enjoying your golden years and enjoying them well. Happy birthday also to actor Carol Daniels. Now, just a few minutes ago, we talked about Yarnick, the rock creature on the Savage Curtain. I love that episode. Well, Carol Daniels played Zora in that same original series episode with the crazy eyebrows and the hair, who did crazy experimentation. She was like a Catherine the Great type of character, just totally out of control. You know, one of those things we never really got a lot of context of who Zora was, other than a sentence of description about her nefarious witch-like experiments. But Carol Daniels, that's what I like about an actor, right? Is like she had that part, had I think next to zero dialogue, maybe one or two lines of dialogue most, but you cannot forget her. It was indelible and absolutely great. That's what a great actor can do. Happy birthday also to Lois Jewell. In the original series episode, Bread and Circuses, that crazy Roman modern nonsense with yet another starship captain who went bad. In that original series episode, she played Drusilla, who was sort of, how can I say it politically correct, kind of a loaned companion to Captain Kirk because it seemed like he was cooperating with everyone for a while there. So she kind of brought him some grapes and some wine and hung out. And Lois Jewell, you are definitely remembered, my friend. So happy birthday to you. And what a part to be in the Star Trek world. And finally, almost finally, I'm going out of order here. What's wrong with me? I can't keep track of my list. Actor Richard Chavez in the Voyager episode Catu played the Earth Sky Spirit in that episode, which is a very unusual name for a character, right? Also played Lieutenant Colonel Iron Horse in the television series War of the Worlds. That's got a big cult following that a lot of people enjoyed. But I will always remember Richard Chavez from the phenomenal 1987 classic Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Predator. Okay, Predator.
Get to the chopper.
If it bleeds, we can kill it. Okay, Richard Chavez played Pancho in that movie, right? And that movie, let me tell you, it holds up so well. Absolutely cool. He also was in the great Harrison Ford flick, Witness. A lot of people forget about Witness, a Peter Weir film, but absolutely amazing. Right. I know he's been on Voyager as well, MacGyver. We'd mentioned War of the Worlds. But Predator, man, that's a big credit to have on your list there. So pretty fantastic. And to close out my segment here, I'd love to extend huge happy birthday greetings to, I imagine, this actor. She's sitting in a bar someplace right now, opening something very expensive is my guess. But actress Ito Ighariar, who played Guinan on most recent Picard season. Right? Absolutely fantastic. Ito Aguirre, who played Guinan. Now, there's a character you can be proud to say that you contributed to the Star Trek legacy there. So all kinds of folks, you always just have to wonder when you're reading this list, where are they? What are they doing? Are they at home? Are they in bars? Are they celebrating? Are they doing nutsy things with other celebrities? How are they celebrating their birthdays this week as we do this show? Who knows? But it's fun to imagine, and it's great to acknowledge them. And with that, we pass the microphone birthday candle over to Jim.
Well, I'll tell you, Paul, they're going to TrekTalking.com and listening to this show. That's what they're doing. What else would they be doing?
Of course they are. They are so hammered, they are actually logging on and leaving voice messages to us that we'll play on next week's show.
That's right. You never know.
I can't wait, man. I don't want to hear what Ben Vereen has to say. He goes, "You guys are crazy, man."
You're nuts.
I'm ready to hear them. We're ready to take your call.
I've got a couple of birthdays, not a lot. We want to say happy birthday to the awesome Lulu Wilson. She was most recently, well, she was in Annabelle, actually. A horror movie, but she played Kestra Troy Riker in Picard's episode Nepenthe, which in my opinion was like the coup d'etat of episodes. That when me and the wife were watching that episode, just phenomenal. And I think the fan reaction to Riker and Troy's appearance in that episode, I think may have had a lot to do with them bringing the entire cast back for season three. It's just my opinion. But Lulu Wilson played a great character and an awesome daughter. And I'd love to see her in the future. Where did she go later on? So happy birthday to Lulu Wilson. And I'm big on music. If you guys have listened to the podcast in the past, you know I'm big on music. If the music ain't right, it's just not setting the tone, and I'm going to bitch. So music's very, very important to me. I think the audio stimulants in your brain, they need to match the visual. If they don't, it just doesn't work. Well, the next guy that happy birthday to, composed the score for Star Trek 2009, Star Trek Into Darkness, and Star Trek Beyond. He also directed the short trek Ephraim and Dot, which was that great animated short trek, if you guys remember it. And he also composed the theme for Prodigy. And of course, I'm talking about the awesome, the incredible Michael Giacchino. And he's done some great stuff. I remember sitting in the movie theater watching Star Trek 2009 with my wife and thinking, you know, it's not really feeling like a Star Trek movie just yet. The music isn't just right. And then it came on and I heard those familiar Trek fanfare and boom, I was in a Star Trek movie and he dropped it in. That's what a good composer will do. They don't rely on it, but they can drop it in just enough to pull you in. And once you're pulled in, you're hooked. So happy birthday. We also
I got to throw out there on this guy because he has upped his game.
Oh, he
Michael
has
upped his game. He's good. You know what he's done just recently?
Oh,
he's gone beyond composing, right? He's one of the most popular shows on Disney Plus right now.
He directed Werewolves Amongst Us.
Werewolf by Night.
Werewolf by Night.
Incredible.
Right.
In black and white, man. Really incredibly stylistic. It's like he got together with those Marvel cats and they were like, what would you like to do? He goes, well, I'd like to direct Werewolf by Night and because he's a big fan. And so he's proven that he's just as great as a director as he is a composer, man. He's going to have a big career based on this. Really cool.
That's right. I forgot. I just watched that yesterday. I forgot. It's in black and white. Yep.
Yeah, pretty
except for the end. They pull the Wizard of Oz end and they go from black and white to color at the very, very end.
Yeah, kind of a little Schindler's List moment, right?
Which was really, really cool.
He did a great job, man.
Yeah, you'll see
more from that guy, I guarantee you.
Yeah, that was good. We also want to say happy birthday to Helen Wheeler, who played Ikora in DS9's episode The Quickening. And speaking of Predator, there's another really great movie that spawned Schwarzenegger movie from the 80s that's called The Terminator. You may have heard of it. Well, this next actress actually starred in Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines as the TX Terminator. But we're not talking about her from The Terminator. We're going to remember her for playing Malia in the episode of Voyager Favorite Son. But I got to tell you, I met Christiana Loken at Super Mega Fest quite a few years ago. I got a picture, me and my wife and my daughter got a picture taken with her at a photo op. And let me tell you, she's big. She is very tall. I'm 6 foot and she's standing next to me and she's above me. And I know in the movie, it doesn't look right when you see her in the movie, but when she's standing toe to toe with Arnold, she's a very impressive woman. I mean, she's built very well. She's very tall and proportional and awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. It was a great honor to meet her, and she was really great. And we started off, sadly enough, with the passing of an awesome Klingon, and I get the honor of wishing a happy birthday to one of my favorite Klingons from one of my favorite movies. An individual that I would love, love to get on this podcast. And what I would like to do is I would like to have both Claw and Vixis on the podcast simultaneously. We've had Vixis on the show twice. I would love to be able to get Todd Bryant on the show, who played Captain Claw in Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. Kapla to Todd Bryant. But I think it would be great if we could get both of them together on the show. I think they'd be a riot together. I know I haven't had any luck reaching out to him, but I'm always trying. Maybe he's listening to the podcast and he's going to trektalking.com and he's leaving us a message right now. Although he'd probably leave it in Klingon and we wouldn't be able to understand it, but that's cool. Well, guys, that wraps up our birthdays for this week. I hope you've enjoyed them and we've jogged your memory and you say, oh, I haven't seen that episode in a while. I'm going to go and watch it. And now it's time for convention. All right, God, the part of the show where Eric started off, but Eric's flying on a jet plane, so it's going to fall to me. So we want to start off by letting you guys know about FanQuest, November 12th to the 13th at Norwood Community Center in Winnipeg, Canada. So if you're in Winnipeg, Canada, check out FanQuest. We also want to let you guys know about QuadCon Peoria, November 12th and 13th at the Northwoods Mall in Peoria, Illinois. And in my neck of the woods, not too far from where I'm sitting right now, just about 45 minutes or so, Saratoga Comic Con, the same weekend, November 12th and 13th at the Saratoga Springs City Center in Saratoga Springs, New York. And I won't be at that one, but, well, you never know. So check that out if you're in the area. And David, what do you have on your list?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
He can hear you fine.
Great. I got PhilCon 2022 from November 18th to the 20th. Double Tree by Hilton Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. The next one on the list is the Hero Con. I guess this is where Superman goes. From November 18th to the 20th at the Volusia Sound Convention Center, Fort Myers, Florida. Last on my list is the Blue Water International Comic Con. From just November 19th only at the Blue Water Convention Center in Port Huron, is that Michigan?
Yep, Michigan.
All right, Michigan it is. And that's it for my list. So, Paul, what's on yours?
All right, brother. Well, you know what, friends? It's the week before Thanksgiving in the somewhat not too remote future. And you know what you need to do? You need to go to a convention. Because you want to be able to load up on comics and toys and good swag and all those good Star Trek fan vibes so you can reminisce and enjoy them during your time off for the Thanksgiving Day break. And so there's a lot of conventions that week prior that will allow you to do this. And first of all, I'm going to spend a couple in the great state of Oklahoma. All kinds of good stuff going on there. November 19th, 2022, you can go to Uncanny Comic Expo 2022 at the Ardmore Convention Center in, guess where? Ardmore, Oklahoma. That's right. So that's going to be a great con. Emphasis on Comic-Con. So all kinds of great stuff there that you can locate and add to your collections and go and rub elbows with other fans. Also in Oklahoma, in incredible Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Tulsa Expo Center, November 19th and 20th. That weekend, you can go to Retromania Tulsa 2022. My spider sense says that will be full of collectible toys. Perhaps if there's a missing Playmates action figure from your collection that you need to acquire, you can visit Retromania Tulsa and you'll be able to find it to add to your collection. So go there, miss not. And then we're going to leave. We're going to cross the Mason-Dixon. We're going to go ourselves up over to good old New England, my old stomping grounds in Massachusetts, to Boxborough. And at the Boxborough Regency, November 25th and 27th, as you are still digesting your Thanksgiving meal, going, wow, My uncle and aunt are crazy. I can't believe they believe that stuff. You can escape all that family drama and head to the Northeast Comic Con and Collectibles Extravaganza, November 25th through 27th, the weekend right after Thanksgiving, in Boxborough, Massachusetts. Massachusetts, I love you. I miss you. I wish you well. Charles, who you got on your convention calendar?
Hello? Charles,
are you there?
Mute? Hello?
All right, let's try it now.
Okay,
right,
there we
sorry,
go.
Sorry, mute button. Okay, let's try the Grand Strand Comic Con, November 26th and 27th at Myrtle Beach Convention Center. Of course, in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Now we're getting into December. Galaxy Con Columbus, December 2nd through 4th at the Greater Columbus Convention Center, Columbus, Ohio. But if you don't want to be in Ohio, you'd rather be in California, the LA Comic Con, December 2nd through 4th at the LA Convention Center, Los Angeles, California. Home of last year's final event by our famous O'Hara.
That's right.
That was her last show. That was the last show Michelle got to go to.
That wraps up our convention calendar. Now it's time for Starfleet.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Incoming transmission.
Enter authorization code. Command codes verified. Define parameters of program. Level 9 authorization required.
Specify parameters.
Transfer of data is complete.
All right, guys, all of the stories that we're about to talk about have been summarized by yours truly, Uncle Jim, and can be found in their entirety at trektalkin.com. That's right, trektalkin.com. One more time, trektalkin.com. You can go there and you can click on the Facebook link and it'll take you right to our Facebook page where you can read all these articles in their entirety. Now, this first article I actually put in here for Eric, because Eric loves this particular segment, but he's flying on a jet plane. So we're going to jump over to Charles for this segment.
Yep. And I got my own version of this one thing. Shatner says, what? William Shatner is still devastated over how things ended with Leonard Nimoy. William Shatner released a new memoir this week titled Boldly Go, Reflections on a Life in Awe and Wonder. As the title indicates, 91-year-old Shatner has become more reflective. According to the official description, Shatner reflects on the interconnectivity of all things, our fragile bond with nature, and the joy that comes from exploration with his inspiring, revolutionary, and exhilarating collection of essays. And speaking to you today, Shatner talked more about Nimoy's passing and why I believe he wasn't able to connect at the end. When you're getting really ill, you don't want to see anybody. Maybe that was it. And he died. And I thought, what happened? Then I thought, well, it's me again, I guess. But his daughter, Julie, came to me and said, he loved you. The universe is sending me a message. Back to whatever happened, he loved me as I loved him, like a brother. He was my brother. We shared a lifetime. One person, Shatner, has given up his TOS co-star, George Takei. The two have a lifelong feud, but Takei's criticism of Shatner's flight into space last year, calling him unfit and a guinea pig, seemed to be the final straw. Shatner said to USA Today, why would George Takei put that in public? After I came down from space, had this experience, talked about global warming, he would say, oh, they probably used him because he was the oldest guy that would go up. He was so mean-spirited. Again, there's no reason, and I don't give a cup of tea what his opinion is. But there's a guy who's not well. Boldly going, reflecting on a life on Wonder, was released, is available now on Amazon hardcover, Kindle, ebook, and audiobook, narrated by Shatner himself.
Yeah.
I would say George, with his presence, especially on Facebook, there's a lot of people that do take his opinion very, very to heart.
I would agree.
So I don't think that's a fight that's ever going to end between those two.
Nope. I agree completely. All right, guys.
But Jim,
ready to...
but Jim, I think you want to talk about Discovery.
Yeah. Did anybody hear of this little convention last week called New York City Comic Con? It's this little thing they do down in New York once a year. And sometimes big stars show up there. And sometimes they drop new trailers on us, maybe. And in this particular case, they had a Star Trek Discovery panel. So they dropped a new trailer. And the article goes, Star Trek Discovery Season 5 First Look Trailer shows Galaxy's Greatest Treasure Hunt. The Discovery panel at New York Comic Con features series cast members Anthony Rapp and Wilson Cruz, and executive producers Michelle Paradise, Alex Kurtzman, and Rod Roddenberry. Also joining the panel was series star Sonequa Martin-Green, who beamed in virtually from the captain's chair of the Season 5 set in Toronto. She introduced the First Look trailer, which reveals some new characters, including Captain Rayner, played by Callum Keith Renee from the Umbrella Academy, and Jessica Jones, along with Maul and Locke, played by Eve Harlow from The 100 and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Elias Tufix from Shadowhunters and the Blood of Zeus. Callum Keith Renee joins the cast in a series regular as a role of Captain Rainier. Here is the official character description. Rainier is a gruff, smart Starfleet captain who holds a clear line between commander and crew. He leads, they follow. Rainier is all but the mission, whatever it may be, and he doesn't do niceties along the way. His feeling is you get the job done and apologize later. He has a storied track record of wartime success, but in times of peace, he struggles. Collaboration is not his strong suit. That said, if it serves a greater good, he's willing to learn, but it won't be easy. Also joining are Maul and Locke, played by Eve Harlow and Elias Tufix. Here are the official descriptions. Maul is a formal courier turned outlaw who is highly intelligent and dangerous with an impressive strategic mind and a sharp wit. She goes into every situation with a clear plan and stays focused and clear-headed on her goal, even when things go awry. She's not intimidated by Captain Berman or the crew of the USS Discovery, and will face down anyone who stands in her way in order to get what she wants. Locke is a former courier turned outlaw who is tough, impulsive, and fiercely protective of his beloved partner, Maul. So long as he knows she's safe, he doesn't care about collateral damage or its consequences, a perspective that makes him very dangerous at times and will put him on the opposite side of Captain Burnham and the crew of the USS Discovery when they come into conflict. The 10-episode fifth season should be wrapping up production by the end of this year, but there are no details yet on will it debut. All right, guys, I told you at the top of the show we had some trailers to play for you. We just heard the synopsis, and here it is, the Star Trek Discovery Season 5 New York City Comic-Con trailer.
The greatest treasure in the known galaxy is out there. What are you waiting for?
Let's fly.
We'll be right back.
I guess there wasn't much in that for you guys to listen to, was there? But yeah, there was a lot of scenes, action scenes, and Michael Burnham's actually standing on the top on the saucer section of the Discovery as it's going through warp, which is a weird place to be when the ship is going in warp, and they're flying around on these Flash Gordon-like space cycles. There's a little shootout in a corridor somewhere, and of course we get glimpses of these new characters that I just talked about. So Star Trek Discovery Season 5, Eric's not here. Charles, what did you think about the trailer?
Looks good. Definitely.
Yeah.
Of all the trailers, I think everything looks like it's going to be a lot of good stuff.
I agree. What about you, Paul? Did you get a chance to watch it? And if you did, what'd you think?
Yeah, I've only watched it once. I'm hopeful. There's another trailer that I think for me, though, it kind of it pushed past this one for me in terms of occupying space in the front of my brain. But I'm hopeful, right? I'm super hopeful. I think they were definitely heading in a really interesting direction last year. This one seems like it maybe is kind of trying to convey a tone that's more adventure and less cerebral type of science fiction. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I'm super curious. So many talented folks on that show. I just hope the scripts are good.
And let's not forget, the episodes are being cut back to 10. It was 15, 13, 14. Now it's only going to be 10. So they're going to have to get into that story that much quicker and wrap it up that much quicker, which may actually be a good thing. We'll have to wait and
see. Yeah, sometimes less is better, man, in terms of episode count. You know, I got to mention too, Jim, you mentioned actor Callum Keith Rennie, right, on there, who is joining the show. And I think he's the one who plays Rayner, right? But sci-fi fans will know him from Ronald D. Moore's big reboot of Battlestar Galactica a few years ago. He played one of the main Cylons on that show, Leoben. And so he's no stranger to the science fiction franchise world. So it's really cool to see him back. So I will be watching that character with great interest because he's a good actor for sure. And, interesting. I like that they're casting people like that. So I'm going to cautiously optimistic, man, would be my take.
We'll see what happens. And how about you, David? Did you get a chance to watch it? And if you did, what'd you think?
Yeah, I had a chance to watch it. It was interesting. I actually had to double back because I thought the character who played Maul looked an awful lot like the doctor from Strange New World, the nurse, Chapel. I was like, wait a minute, is that the same actress? But apparently not. Like Paul said, you know, it's hopeful, so I'm kind of looking forward to it. But I wasn't too much of a Discovery fan back in the day, but I'm kind of slowly leaning myself into it. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, that wraps up our Discovery. Now we're going to move on to Prodigy. And, Paul, you've got the first story for us about Prodigy.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I was a little late to the party with Prodigy, but once I started watching it, I became a fan pretty much immediately. It's a great show. And I'm excited because our news that we had revealed to us here very, very recently is that actor Ronnie Cox returns as Jellicoe in Star Trek Prodigy. Paramount Plus debuted the official mid-season trailer for season one of the original animated series Star Trek Prodigy. Now, a lot of times in the press releases, you see it referred to as a kids series. I really think that's almost an unfair disservice to the show because it's very smart, very clever, and very engaging. So don't dismiss it as a kids show. I think it's extremely good. The trailer was introduced by executive producers Kevin and Dan Hageman at New York Comic Con. Star Trek had a huge presence at Comic-Con this weekend, as you're hearing. The panel featured a conversation with series voice cast members Kate Mulgrew, Brett Gray, and Jamila Jamil, as well as executive producers Alex Kurtzman and Rod Roddenberry, and director and executive producer Ben Hyben. And during the panel, it was revealed that Ronnie Cox has joined the Season 1 voice cast with a recurring role as Admiral Edward Jellicoe. reprising his role of Jellicoe from Star Trek The Next Generation, which I think you probably all remember. Phenomenal, phenomenal part. We talk about the great admirals of Star Trek. That's one. And Ronnie Cox, it's a get to be able to grab that dude, man. He is a tremendous actor. We know him from movies like Deliverance, and of course everyone remembers him in RoboCop, right?
Beverly Hills
phenomenal
Cop.
Yeah, he was in Beverly Hills Cop. That's right. I always forget about that, man. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. But of course the Next Gen episode we're talking about here is Chain of Command. Right, the great Cardassian two-parter that we love. I mean, that's one of the best two-parters you will ever see. I mean, absolutely.
There are more lights.
Yeah, man. I mean, absolutely tremendous. And so the fact that he's coming back is, you know, I mean, it's great because that was a cool. And of course, that was David Warner, who we just lost recently, right? The great David Warner, who played Goma Dredd in that episode. So one of the greatest Next Gen episodes ever. And part of that's due to Jellicoe. So it's awesome that he's coming back. His promotion to Admiral was first mentioned in some screen graphics episode of Lower Decks, right? So we got a little glimpse of that on that franchise series, and also featured in the series are recurring voice cast members David Diggs as Commander Tyses, Jamila Jamil as Ensign Essentia, Jason Alexander, Seinfeld alum, as Dr. Noom, and Robert Beltran. Hello, Robert Beltran, Captain Chakotay, and Billy Campbell as Thadian Okuna. So here's the first official synopsis for the remainder of season one. In the rest of Star Trek Prodigy's season one episodes, the hopeful crew makes their way towards Starfleet itself. Their dreams are threatened when they discover the USS Protostar harbors a weapon designed to tear the United Federation of Planets apart. To make matters worse, the USS Dauntless is on a manhunt for the Protostar as the real, not hologram, the real Vice Admiral Janeway is eager to uncover what happened to her first missing former first officer, Chakotay. With these two ships on a collision course and destruction on the horizon, the fate of the Alpha Quadrant hangs in the balance. Well, sign me up, man. That sounds fantastic. It's like it's become a larger sequel to the entire Voyager franchise. So amazing. So I'm excited that Robert Beltran's coming back. I'm super excited about that. That's going to be really great. So if you're a Voyager fan and you've been on the fence about Prodigy, time to climb on up and check it out. Prodigy will have its midseason return on Thursday, October 27th. That's just like, what, a couple weeks
from now?
That's so great, man. That is so great that it's that soon, exclusively for Paramount Plus subscribers in the U.S. and on Friday, October 28th in Latin America, Australia, Italy, and the United Kingdom. Following the series return, new episodes of the 10-episode long second half will be available to stream weekly on Thursdays. So that's been the big thumbprint of Star Trek on the Paramount Plus network. There is Thursdays is when a lot of their big debut episodes return, as we've just seen today. The series will air later in the year in South Korea, Germany, Italy, France, Austria, and Switzerland. So friends in other lands, hang in there. If it's airing a little later in this year, that just means you have more time to get caught up if you haven't already watched it. Shameless plug for our friends at the Playmates Toy Company. I should also mention that they are about to unroll their new line of Prodigy action figures, and they look spectacular. They look really, really great. Real nice likenesses to these more animated style, three-dimensional characters. So I highly recommend getting in on the ground floor with that figure line. And don't dismiss Prodigy as a kid show. It's absolutely wonderful. And would you agree, Charles?
Yes, and I was going to say October 27th will be a big day. It will be the season continuation of Prodigy and the final episode of this season's Lower Decks.
Dang. I like that, though. One door opens, another closes.
Feature.
Yeah, that's going to be a great day.
Busy podcast. And
And we're going to talk about that next week, man. Wow. First November podcast is going to be nuts.
Yeah.
If you're wondering why every Star Trek show is only 10 episodes and Prodigy is 20, that's because Prodigy had been picked up by Nickelodeon and originally was going to air on Nickelodeon. Paramount did what they do, how they did it, I don't know. And so now it premieres on Paramount Plus with 10 episode seasons instead of 20. And so they break it up into two 10 episode seasons. That's why we had 10 episodes of Prodigy, then we didn't see it for a while, and now they're saying that it's the mid-season break and is coming back with the continuation of season one, which is 10 episodes, which technically makes it season two. But when they get done, it will play as one complete season on Nickelodeon. That's why, in case you were confused and wondering. All right, guys, I told you at the top of the show that we had a lot of great sound bites to play. We just heard Discovery. Now we're going to hear Prodigy. So here it is, the New York City Comic Con Prodigy trailer. Enjoy.
Captain's log 61209.5. It's been weeks since leaving Kars Lamora for good. That dream of finding a place where we can be accepted is becoming real.
We want to join Starfleet!
I suppose they just handed you kiddos a free starship.
We actually stole it.
Whoever stole the protostar must be stopped.
Get us out of here!
The real me is hunting us. Good luck with that.
So we're not going to Starfleet.
As long as we have the protostar, we can still help others.
This is so exciting!
You saved me.
I will not rest until your memories return.
Who is this specimen?
You know where I came from?
Not where,
but who.
We may not be ready for Starfleet, but we're ready to take your orders, Captain.
Plot a course.
Who are these kids?
Gwen, look at me.
What is it?
I remember everything.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, guys, Star Trek Prodigy. We'll start off with you, Charles. What did you think of the trailer?
Another good trailer. I'm looking forward to seeing this next episode. I think it's another good set of episodes. I can't wait to see what they do next. And
I was
one of my favorites that I always like in things, origin stories. We get to know a little origin about our captain.
And one of the things that impressed me, one of the things that I remember that I really liked is the fact that people keep saying, well, how can these five kids, you know, fly this starship? People don't understand is that the protostar is tiny. I think it might be along the size of the Defiant from DS9. It's very small. And there's a scene where the Dauntless comes up behind it and they're on the bridge. And you can actually see just how small the protostar is when next to the Dauntless. It's a very, very small starship. Tiny, matter of fact. I dare I say maybe a crew of 40, maybe? Very small ship. And I like when they get the dimensions of the ships right. So you can actually see the scale. That impressed me a lot in this particular trailer. And Paul, what did you think about the trailer? Are you excited for it?
Oh, I'm sold. Yeah, I'm very sold. I think it's great. You know, like I said, I think a lot of folks, I think, missed the show. They didn't catch it, didn't watch it. They thought, oh, it's a kid's show, or there was confusion about where it was, Nickelodeon, what's the deal? I think they missed out, or they just, for what reason, it just, maybe not everyone caught it during that first time, and it's really a bit of a gem. I think it was really quite delightful and smart, and some really great talent in the voice work on the show too. I mean, it's definitely pretty interesting, and this looks like they're kind of taking that second half and pushing it forward. here. So I think it looks really interesting, and I love the idea of seeing these younger characters having to, you know, kind of step up and learn more responsibilities and figure things out and deal with all the, you know, the things that are part of growing up, you know, with real consequences on the line. So it's a neat concept for a show. I mean, initially I was just like, how's that going to work? Right. And, but they really have done a wonderful job with it. I'm super pumped. Yeah. All of these trailers were great. Though you still haven't gotten to my favorite yet.
Well, we saved the best for last. I did it in that order to keep our fans salivating, you know, so they'd have to listen to the whole show. It's not an accident.
But that one.
But, yeah, and they are moving closer and closer and closer to Starfleet. And that means if you listen to the panel, we will be seeing more familiar alien races such as the Klingons showing up, which is really cool. So I'm looking forward to that. And David, last but definitely not least, what are your thoughts on the Prodigy trailer?
I'm very excited for it. I really enjoyed the artwork. It almost looks just as good as it was in last season. So I'm really looking forward to the immerse myself in the Prodigy world. It's looking really good.
You know, it's a totally different style of animation than Lower Decks, where Lower Decks is more traditional, like Scooby-Doo or Saturday morning cartoons would have been. Whereas Prodigy, I think, is more along the lines of maybe Star Wars, The Clone Wars, or something along those lines. It's a different style altogether. So that's good, too, because even though they're both animated, they're both very different. And it's something we always say on this podcast is that there's something in Star Trek for everybody. Maybe you don't like Lower Decks, well, check out Prodigy. Maybe you don't like Picard, check out Discovery. Maybe you don't like Discovery, check out Strange New Worlds. I guarantee you, there is something there for every one of our listeners out there. So that's really cool about Star Trek. Or you can like it all like I do. So that's pretty cool. All right. Well, there was one more really, really big release, I want to say, at the New York City Comic Con. And they had the TNG cast, and it was so great to see them all back together again. Marina Sirtis being herself, running out in the audience, making Trump jokes, and it was great. It was a lot of fun to see them together again. You can tell that they genuinely love each other, and they are great friends, and that comes across in their acting as their characters as well. They did have a panel, and Charles, you've got our next story, and it's a big one.
Yeah. Oh, this one's a big one. Star Trek Picard Season 3 New York Comic Con trailer reveals. The Picard panel features series star Patrick Stewart, cast member LeVar Burton, Michael Dorn, Jonathan Frakes, Kate McFadden, Maria Sirtis, Brent Spiner, as well as executive producer Alex Kurtzman, Terry Mandelis, and Rod Roddenberry. During the panel, Paramount Plus debuted a new teaser for the third and final season. The trailer reveals Brett Spiner's character for the season is named Lore, has a quick appearance in the Enterprise F, and ends with a look at Daniel Davis's return as Professor Moriarty from Star Trek Next Generation. It was revealed that Tony Award-winning Amanda Plummer, Fisher King, Pulp Fiction, joins the cast as a reoccurring role as a villain, Valak. Amanda Plummer is the daughter of the late Christopher Plummer, who also played Klingon General Kang, the villain, in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. Here is the official character description of Amanda Plummer's role in Picard. Vedict, a mysterious alien captain of the Strike, a warship that has set its sights on Jean-Luc Picard and its old crewmates from the days of Enterprise. If you want an interesting discussion, Christopher Plummer was the last villain of the TOS generation. Amanda is going to be the last of the Picard generation. Interesting thing to having those two actors back to back. The panel also produced more details on two new characters, the children of LeVar Burton's Jordy LaForge. Micah Burton and Ashley Chappelle Chestnut joined Picard in recurring roles. And oh, by the way, Micah Burton actually is LeVar Burton's daughter. We've seen her at several conventions and virtual cons interviewing people. And since Sydney LaForge is played by Sharp Chestnut and is the eldest daughter of Jordy LaForge and helmsman of the USS Titan, Andrell LaForge is played by Micah Burton, Jordy LaForge's youngest daughter who works alongside her father. The final season premieres February 16, 2013, exclusively on Paramount Plus with the U.S. and new episodes of the 10-season-long available streaming weekly on Thursday nights. Thursdays.
All right, guys. I made you wait. I think you're ready. Here it is, the New York City Comic Con Star Trek Picard final season trailer. Strap yourselves in because this is a doozy.
Thank you. Admiral. I received a distress call from Beverly Crusher.
We are being hunted.
Who is it out there?
I don't know.
We must run.
From what?
Precise with your timing, Jean-Luc Picard.
Fire!
You should know that I now prefer pacifism to combat. We're all gonna die.
They are blind to something big. It will be what it always was. Attempts on your life.
Oh, right.
You broke them into this too?
I was once like her. Irrational. Violent. LaForge! Gunnit! Stay inside!
Aye, sir.
There's a darkness on this ship. All consuming darkness.
I'll peck. And I'll jab. Everything that makes you you.
We will scorch the earth under which he stands, and the night will brighten with the ashes of the Federation.
But first, we will have vengeance.
Fire everything we've got! Greetings.
Wow, where to start? And this trailer was awesome. We get to see the Enterprise F, which is really cool. So let's have some fun as fans with this one. So first of all, we have Vadic and we have the Shriek. And I don't know about you guys, but when I saw it, I definitely got a strong, strong Romulan vibe. It reminded me of Venerata from Star Trek 2009. It had the spikes on the front and everything, and kind of had that X-Wing kind of design to it as well. I definitely think it's some type of Romulan ship is the vibe I got. I could be wrong, but let me tell you why I think it's a Romulan ship, and then you guys can chime in. And this is why we're fans, guys. This is the fun part. So we know that Denise Crosby is going to be in this, and they did not show her. We didn't really see her. Now, we do know that in the alternate, and then another universe, she went back in time, was captured by the Romulans, had a child, Sela, who was in our universe, who was in the Prime universe. The alternate Tasha Yar is also in our Prime universe, but much older now because she came back in time. I won't get into that, but go watch yesterday's Enterprise if you want to get that in your own head. And Sela tells Picard, when Picard says, I want to meet your mother, she says, she was captured and killed. Now, have we ever known a Romulan to tell the truth, guys? Come on. No, we haven't. So if there's no body, she's not dead. So we don't really actually know if the alternate Tasha Yar was dead. I have a feeling she's not. And the fact that she was on Romulus and captured by Romulans, this ship reminds me of a Romulan ship. I think there's a connection between Tasha Yar and this character that we don't know yet, that we will find out as the season progresses. I may be wrong, but that's my theory on the whole thing. Secondly, Moriarty's back. And he was the holograph character that was created by Geordi LaForge to defeat Data. Now, he's only in one episode. He did an interview after New York City Comic Con. He's in two episodes.
Two episodes of TNG.
But he's only in one episode of Picard. Okay. He did his filming in one day, and most of his scenes were with Riker. So he's not a major character, if you guys were thinking that. He's not. He said he's only in one. But that's cool. That's really cool. I'm curious to see how they work him in.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
The biggest reveal is lore. Now, if you watched the New York City Comic-Con panel, Frakes and Brent Spiner kind of say that that's really not lore that we're seeing, that it's before. You guys can take that for a grain of sand, but Frakes says to Brent Spiner, they say, you're back playing lore. And Brent Spiner says, am I? And then Frakes turns in and says, no, before lore. And then Brent Spiner says, oh, yes, you're right. So is this actually lore that we're seeing, or is it before that we're seeing? Or is it a combination of before and lore? Because we don't know what actually happened to lore when Data disassembled him. So Worf as a pacifist, I'm interested in seeing how that works out. But I'm psyched. I'm really psyched for what they've shown us so far in this trailer. And I cannot wait to see where they go with it. And I know, Paul, you've been waiting. Now is your chance. What do you think?
Oh, man, it was outstanding. It was really, really great. Very much a different vibe from the last season of Picard that we got, right? I mean, this is more of a spacefaring story, right? We are off Earth. We are out there. We've got, you know, I mean, the fact that they've, you know, designed this whole thing to be this wonderful swan song, and they've got all of the actors back, all of the characters back, you know, it's just spectacular. It's really difficult to watch that trailer and not just get the chills, man. It's just outstanding. A lot of fun plot elements. And I got to theorize very much about what to expect, just because A, we're always wrong, and B, it's fun to just let it spool itself in front of us and be surprised. Don't really have a clue who Amanda Plummer's character is yet. I you know, a lot of red herrings put out by the showrunners, right? Going, oh, it's an old character you don't haven't seen in a while, right? Which doesn't sound like it's true, based on the identification of the name of the character and her ship and everything like that. We don't really know who that is, but she seems to know who they are and is has a bit of a grudge to bear against the good crew there. So I suspect there'll be some connective tissue with a previous story that just hasn't made itself apparent yet. That's my guess, right? Because she seems like she's, you know, taken her actions from the Wrathicon playbook, right? She's out for blood. She's out for revenge. She wants payback. So that's what I got from Amanda Plummer. All I know is wherever you choose to take us, I'm ready to go, because she's a phenomenal actress. And like Charles said, I love the connective tissue of the legacy of, you know, her father, you know, playing, you know, General Chang in The Undiscovered Country. I mean, what a great performance. I mean, man, that's one of the great, for me, that's one of my favorite Klingons. I love that guy. He was just a magnificent actor, and boy, did those genes pass down to her. She's a phenomenal performer.
For me, the biggest thing is the villain can make or break a movie. If the villain isn't up to snuff, it can destroy a movie. So if she can pull it off, as she seems to be in the trailer, it'll be outstanding.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got no doubts, man. So long as it's a good script, and it sure seems like it is, because you think these guys would have all signed up again if they didn't have a good story that didn't feel like it cheapened their legacy? Because, man, one of the great series finales ever was Star Trek The Next Generation, right? I mean, that was a dynamite script. So they must have had something really wonderful to tempt everyone to come back. So I have high hopes for this one, and the trailer makes me think that those hopes are not misplaced. It looks absolutely great. So super excited. I'm frankly just titillated. I mean, lore is great, but I'm titillated at the idea of having Moriarty back, because those Moriarty episodes are magic. He is great. Really, really tremendous. And I'm super excited to see where that all goes. So I could not be more delighted with what they chose to share with us. I'm sure they've only given us the tip of the iceberg, but, man, it looks great. It looks really good.
It looks really good.
So, David, super excited, man.
What are your thoughts? You excited for it?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, yeah, so I'm really excited about this particular series. I'm hoping that everything will go smoothly. Like, I'm hoping there's not going to be any mixed up like they kind of did with season two. But yeah, I'm really hoping that nothing is going to be going down the drain, honestly, because I was kind of really disappointed with season two. And I'm hoping that everything's going to work out. So, yeah, I'm really curious, though. I thought Paramount Plus said that there was going to be a female villain that was going to be a returning role. And I honestly thought this wasn't it, because didn't Paramount Plus mention on Star Trek Day something about a returning role for a female villain? Is it going to be Tashiana?
I think people like to lie, man. I think that there's all – I mean, it could be that it was yet another villain we don't know yet. But I also think that very frequently press agents will – for big shows like this, they will misdirect you, right? And they'll say one thing, and they just want to misdirect you so that you don't sniff down the wrong area. But I don't take everything they say at face value, because there's a lot of times it'd be like, oh, yeah, red herring, uh-huh. It'll be what you know. And then it's just – I mean, I can't even count how many – movies and TVs do that all the time. So it's just, we don't want to take everything that we are told as literal truth. And of course, the internet is nothing but a swamp of lies anyway.
Be
careful where you step would be all I can say. Be careful what you believe.
A returning character / a female villain. We're assuming they're the same thing. Well, no, I think they're two different characters.
Aha. Where are you going with it, Charles?
Well, lore. I think lore and Moriarty, those are two. Well, lore is a recurring character. Moriarty is a character from the past. I think those could be returning villains. And we have a major female villain to top it. And who knows what her connection is to who. We know the group she's with, but we don't know any origin. So we never know what the deal with this person is going to be.
So you're saying that you think that they took three different characters and sort of combined them into one sentence just to kind of
exactly.
to mess with
us.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad theory, Charles. That's a good theory. I think that's I think that's solid. I think it very well could be because you know it's just it's they don't want to tell us everything. They want to keep us intrigued.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's I buy that hook, line, and sinker.
Keep us ready for that new episode.
That's right. Absolutely.
And it's only February, right? Mid February that we have to wait for.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yep.
That's not. I can handle that because there's a lot coming out between now and then. Because, I mean, that's going to be. I'm sure that won't be the only trailer, right? I'm sure we're going to get at least another, big whopper between now and then that'll give us even more. But man, I mean, based on that, this became not just like because a lot of people have had their whatever. Not everybody loved everything about season two of Picard. I'm right there with you. There was a lot of stuff I didn't care about, but all of a sudden after this trailer. That premiere becomes event viewing. I mean, no one's going to want to miss this. I mean, how long has it been since we've seen some of these actors in character, man?
Well,
I can't wait.
Well, let's put this way of thinking. Oh, we don't think Moriarty's much of a character. Oh, really? Then why did Lower Decks Comics bring up Moriarty?
That's true.
I forgot about that. He's a major mention in it.
Huh.
And by the way,
right.
Issue number two is out.
That's right.
That's right.
I haven't read it yet. I picked it up Wednesday, but I haven't read it yet. He's a great character, man, because I think that, what they did with Moriarty on Next Gen was just remarkable because he embodied so much of what really good science fiction should be trying to do, right? He's like starting off as a creation of like something someone manufactured, a piece of technology, a fantasy indulgence, right? But he basically attains sentience and becomes the embodiment of like artificial intelligence and they took it to almost like a spiritual place, right? With the idea that this creation has a soul and his own desires and his own thoughts and needs, and that was powerful stuff. And he's such a good actor. I mean, he made you really empathize with him so that he started off as like a curiosity, a two-bit villain that, was black and white villain and became like a soulful character you had great empathy for. It was really thanks to that wonderful acting that he produced. So I'm super delighted that we get to see him again, man. What a gift.
Yeah. Also, it makes sense that Moriarty is actually the main villain now because remember what they said in that episode, TNG, where he was wondering if there was any kind of technology maybe in the future for him to step outside the holodeck. Well, now we have Voyager that came along with the mobile emitter, which is now a future tech. But now he's going to be probably wandering around in the real material world as a hologram. So, interesting.
Fascinating.
It's going to be good.
Can't wait, man. And
it's
fortunately, we have more
good.
Star Trek to hold us together until then. So it's not like we're having
to
go on a diet. we get a lot to watch between now and then, man. But that's so exciting. There's a lot of good Trek coming. They're really great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's a question. We have Prodigy coming out. What's coming out after Prodigy before Picard, or is Picard coming right after Prodigy?
I don't have the calendar in front
of me. I do. I just have to open it.
Yeah.
Okay. We have Lower Decks through October 27th. If Prodigy goes straight through, we're going to have Prodigy October 27th all the way to the 29th. We've got just over a month break, and Picard starting February 16th. Because we don't have an official date for Discovery nor Strange New World yet.
Hmm. Yeah,
okay.
And that's that's assuming they play Prodigy right straight through without a break.
Exactly.
So,
especially if they might do a 5-week run, take a couple weeks off, stretch another, and then a couple weeks break, and then we're going straight into Picard.
Right.
Especially if they want to get a break in there for Thanksgiving or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot to look forward to.
Yep.
A lot to look forward to. All right, guys, our phone number here is 646-668-2433. We're going to talk about Lower Decks, Season 3, Episode 7, A Mathematically Perfect Redemption. A wayward Starfleet ensign struggles to find a path to redemption. This was a unique episode, so there is no captain's log. You guys have noticed I always play the captain's log to set it up for you, but there isn't one. So instead of the captain's log, you're going to have to settle for this.
Previously on Star Trek Lower Decks.
Ooh, I got it. One illegal virus.
But someone has to take it to the ship.
But who's small enough to go and detect it?
Yeah, and who could survive in space without a ship?
Someone who can travel with a program safely stored in her hard drive.
Peanut Hamper!
You can load the code into their ship using your robotic abilities. Oh my gosh, Peanut Hamper! You're going to save the day!
I'm going to pass.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, that stuff sounded way too scary.
What about the needs of the many?
I joined Starfleet to piss off my dad, not to be a virus bomb.
Peanut Hamper, this is not cool.
We're all going to die.
Peanut Hamper,
there are so many lives at stake.
You know what? I'm just going to beam myself out of this whole stitch. Sucks to be organic. Enjoy having all your guts flying out or whatever. You know what? Peanut Hamper is a stupid name.
All right, that's the setup for this episode. And every week I ask you guys on our Facebook page to score the episode on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best and 1 being the worst. And you can go to chucktalking.com, and that will link you right over to our Facebook page so that you can take in our polls. And Eric isn't here. We're going to turn to Paul. So, Paul, what did our Facebook fans have to say about this episode of Lower Decks?
People had reactions, Uncle Jim. They did indeed. Top fan Brian Kane puts it this way, 6 at best. Peanut Hamper is the worst, but I did like how it played with the trope of it's okay to violate the Prime Directive if you're helping. Definitely a letdown after last week's episode. Fan David Chauvavny. David, 7.5. It was great. Redemption, reversion, and ridiculousness. Hertzler and Combs, hot bird on robot action.
Yeah.
Pretty funny there, David. David got it. Nicholas Junker says a 1. Whoa, I just heard the bottom of the basement drop out. Absolutely terrible. Alan Gopin echoes Nicholas's perspective, a 2. The first Lower Decks episode I didn't like. Carlos Teal says, compared exclusively to other Lower Decks episodes, where 10 is, say, Wejdurj, 7. Charles Sullivan, the worst example of anything with the Star Trek name on it, 1. Wow, Charles did not like that at all. Susan Holly Anderson, some of it was really good, some of it was shitty. Sorry, Susan. 5 out of 10. To me, it was the worst one they have put out there. Stuart Ogden, not the best one, perhaps 5.5. Dale Sheldon Reeder IV, I'm going with an 8. Some episodes aren't the best, but most are. I like the humor and wit. And finally, Michael von der Mühlen says a solid 6. So if we have a crazy Excel spreadsheet or algorithm that we can somehow compress all those reactions together from our various fans and shake it and maybe put some goat entrails over it and light a match, the fan score is, drumroll, suspensefulness. It all boiled down to a fan score of 4.4. Oh, Mary. A lot of different reactions.
I've got to clarify this with all of our listeners that 4.4 is the lowest score we have ever recorded for anything, even lower than you guys scored my all-time favorite movie, Star Trek V, which, by the way, scored a 4.5. And even so, you guys hated this worse than Star Trek V. So, wow, that's the lowest we've ever gotten. So that will tell you something right there. Before we go any further, though, we always do our cadet training, which is where you guys can go back and watch some episodes to kind of catch up on what this episode was about. So for that, take it away, Charles.
All right. Not many this week episode. One of them that we really, you could go back to seeing is TNG's Quality of Life, Season 6, Episode 9. This is where you actually learn about the exocomps themselves. Lower Decks, No Small Part, Season 1, Episode 10. This is where the episode ends and where we get the opener for this episode, as Jim said it, as you heard Jim play it. Also, LDS, Terminal Provocation, Season 1, Episode 6, the Drugmani, we get to meet them there and spoken and voiced by J.G. Hertzler. So
all right,
we get a good joining by JG and Mr. Combs joining us in this episode.
Well, so now you know what episodes you can go back to catch up on the awesomeness of this particular episode. You know where our fans on our Facebook page fall on this particular episode, worse than Star Trek V, which is my favorite movie, by the way. So what did we think about it? So, all right, let me start the ball a-rolling by saying that this episode wasn't all bad, okay? It was terrible, yes. It was awful, yes. Yeah, I'll tear it apart in a minute, but, there was one redeeming factor that pulls this out of the muck, and that is the ending. And I'm going to play that soundbite for you right now, because this episode was so crappy I couldn't even find a soundbite worthy of playing for you guys. So I picked this one, and this is the highlight of this episode, and in my opinion is spectacular to begin with. And I'm just going to call this one the Computer Jail.
You think this is bad? A room full of awesome robots? I love it here. Not an organic to be found.
I am 10111. Would you like to play Guess What I'm Thinking?
No, shut up.
I'm thinking of a battery. Oops, I did not wait for you to guess.
Peanut hamper, is it? I must say, that's a mathematically perfect name.
Thanks. Who the hell are you?
I am Agamus, and I think you and I could do awful things together.
No! Stop it! You stop laughing with us! Nobody invited you guys! Stop!
Yeah, okay. So, yes, that's Jeffrey Combs, and we saw his particular character a few episodes ago. Was it last season, Charles, or was it a few episodes ago? I'm not sure.
No, that
was that last season?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Last season.
Yeah, so Jeffrey Combs, and so that's great that they revisited that and had Jeffrey Combs do the voice. And as Charles mentioned, the awesome J.D. Hurtler, who is General Martok, is the leader of the Drugmani, which is really cool. Other than that, those two things that I can mention that were good, the rest of this episode was total crap, in my opinion. I hated it. This is one of those episodes, just to put this in perspective for you guys, I always watch the episodes at least three times to get prepared for the podcast. I watch it the first time just to sit through it and watch it so that I can enjoy it as a fan. Then I got to go back and watch it to analyze it so I can get my talking points for you guys. Then I'll go back and watch it a third time to look for some sound bites and whatnot. And then I actually end up watching it a fourth time on my laptop to rip the sound bites. This particular episode, I barely made it through the first time. I had to watch it so I could talk about it. Other than that, I don't think my eyeballs will ever view this piece of garbage ever again. I did not like this episode. I felt that Peanut Hamper was the worst example of a character that we've ever seen on Star Trek. I didn't buy it, didn't like it. The hot computer on bird action was just leave it at that. Terrible. I hated this episode from beginning to end. Everything about it, except for J.G. Hertzler and Jeffrey Combs at the end. Why they decided to waste an entire episode on this crappy character, I'll never know. I don't know what was going through their heads. Either they altered the opening sequence, which I think is always great. They did that on Enterprise, Into the Mirror Darkly. They had a whole different opening sequence, but it worked. In this one, it didn't work for me. And the thing about it is, as you notice from our fan scores, there's fans that give it a 1. There's fans that give it an 8. There's really no middle ground on this one. It's a pretty decisive thing. Either you loved it or you hated it. Well, I fall into the hated it category. I'm sorry, but I did. I hated this from beginning to end. So that I'm going to give it a 1. All right. And I'll bump that up to a 2, and it's only because of J.G. Hertzler and Jeffrey Combs. I'm going to give it a 2, which is the lowest score I've ever given a Star Trek episode. And if you guys listen to the podcast, I'm pretty open about my Star Trek opinion. A 2 is, I'm going to go with a 2. All right. So how about you, David?
Jim, what do you really think?
Yeah, that's what I read. I'm not holding back. David, what do you got for us?
Oh, man. I'm going to quote Boimler. Boo.
Quote Boimler.
This episode, I think, would have been a way better episode if it didn't exist. And they just had Peanut Hamper in computer jail as a, oh, wow, I wonder how that happened kind of thing. And they could have just done a completely separate episode. And, there's just something about this episode that just did not make sense for some reason. And it was so bad. Oh, my goodness. I can't even talk about it. I almost didn't even call in to talk about this because it was so bad. All right, well, if I had to give my opinion of it, I agree with Jim here. This is probably the worst Star Trek episode in all of Star Trek history. Oh, my goodness. I don't even think I can score it. What's that?
Well, the police are after Peanut Hamper. See that?
Sorry. That's downtown Portland for you.
Yep, that happens. Well, the lowest you can go is 1. 1 is it. I mean, we don't allow 0.
I'm going to to be honest, I was going to give this a 2, but the more I think about it, I only watched it once. I'll probably watch it again for the heck of it, but probably not even going to finish it. I'm giving this score the lowest possible ever. 0.1.
0.1?
That's how bad it was.
That's not a 0. And, you know, I just want to interject a little something here is that when I first heard about Lower Decks and who was working on it, I had visions in my mind of, oh, my God, they're going to destroy Star Trek and they're going to make it totally crappy. This is the episode I had in my mind. okay? When I heard who was making it, I'm like, this is the episode I envisioned. And boy, was I wrong, because Lower Decks has been phenomenal. This episode is what I feared they would make it, and thankfully did not. So there's that. So we got a 2 and we got a 0.2 so far. And Paul.
Point one.
A 0.1. We got a 2 and a 0.1. 0.1 and a 2 so far. Paul, what about you? Are you going to pull
all
it up?
All right, Fred.
Go for it.
I'm going to go for it, okay? I have to tell you, now, comedy is challenging, right? Comedy is zany. Sometimes comedy is risky, and comedy is super subjective, right? And I got to say, I did not hate this episode as much as a lot of other people did. I didn't adore it. I didn't think it was a masterpiece by any stretch of the imagination. But I got to tell you, I think perhaps the angle that I think saved me is I didn't really look at this so much as a Star Trek episode, right? It's really more of like a broad satire of like a lot of other kinds of science fiction, right? That sometimes Star Trek falls into. I laughed a lot watching this, really inappropriately. So that's just my disclaimer. Okay. I was reminded of a lot of the uncomfortable scenes in like the Sam Jones Flash Gordon movie, if you know what I'm saying. The tone, and again, this is where, you know, comedy's challenging, right? It's like not everybody laughs the same way because you're not wired the same way or whatever. The comedy of this, though, reminded me a lot of the comedy that you get from like Trey Parker and Matt Stone, right? It's like anybody's watches a lot of South Park, right? Or if you're fans of the musical The Book of Mormon, their comedy in terms of it being really inappropriate and really like cringy in some ways to make satiric points. I felt a lot of that from this particular episode, especially the romance, if you will. I have not seen any of the previous episodes that introduced this peanut hamper, because I'm still getting caught up with the back seasons of Lower Deck. So this is all new to me, right? And Peanut Hamper is super annoying and contemporary and anachronistic, but they kind of push that out there. And I don't know. I don't know why, but maybe it's the South Park vibe, right? But I found it very funny in places, and it didn't, you know, I wouldn't say it was anywhere near as bad. I found it really goofy, and again, it's more of a satire in tone than the typical episodes. It's not trying to be Star Trek really at all. It's almost trying to be the anti-Star Trek in terms of the tone, and I think that's why it got such an extreme reaction. So I, for what it was trying to do, and again, I think it might have been, you can't really blame anybody but Mike McMahon, right? This is his show, all right? This is his writing. Right, the same dude who's written the overwhelming majority of these. This is Mike's deal, right? And so it may have been kind of an indulgence for him, right? Or he's like really trying to riff on specific stuff in science fiction and fantasy that he cracks up about. I got it. I understand where you're coming from with this one, Mike. I think it's really hilarious if you're in the right mood. And maybe I was in the right mood. I would give this episode a 7. Just because of what it, you know, compared to other, and again, I haven't seen that many Lower Decks yet. I mean, I'm really kind of just jumping on board with this season and slowly playing catch up. So I give it a 7. Is it one of the best? No, but it's hilariously wrong in a lot of fun ways for me. And I just like, this is not a show I think it behooves me to take super seriously, right? As a comedy, to use the same serious litmus that we talk about Discovery and Strange New Worlds might be a bit of a mistake from my perspective, because I think, you know, the lighthearted, not seriousness serves you well, as it for me how this episode was. But that's my take, man. So I'll go with a 7.
So we got a 7, a 2, and a 0.1. Charles, the ball is in your court.
Well, I thought it was interesting, and I kind of scratched my head at the beginning when it's like, okay, we're starting off with a what happened last, and then all of a sudden we're just kind of scrolling in. It's like, okay, where are the opening credits? And all of a sudden the opening credits are scrolling on this episode. It's like, okay, that's a little strange, but we'll go with it. And there are points it's like, okay, you think Peanut Hamper's going to redeem herself. Then she turns around, does the opposite. And it's like, she's a confusing character. You're not sure if she's really in there for helping everybody or just really wanting to just be taking care of herself. Yet realizing she wasn't doing very well, trying to take care of herself. The love scenes between the two, I think, were a little much. It was nice the fact that, oh, she's going to get away, and nope, they grab her, they take care of her. We finally get to see the crew in a couple of good scenes. And then she kind of gets put into computer jail. And, of course, computer jail kind of reminds us of what? From what movie?
I was thinking of the Avengers.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana
Jones. You
get
these relics, and you take these relics, and they bury them in a warehouse.
Yep.
And that's kind of what they're in with these computers. They're just kind of burying them in a computer jail. They're not going to get into anybody. So I'm going to do a little less than Paul. I'm going to go ahead and do a 5 for this one.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Did we get a
All right.
score from Eric?
No. We did not.
I don't think so.
He
okay,
said he was going to. Yep. So that adds up to a host score just under the fan score. The fans gave it a 4.4, and we gave it a 3.5. So
wow.
We liked it a little bit less than the fans liked it. All right,
David
guys, well,
wielded the
happen.
Power of math.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
0.01,
just,
wow.
That, yeah, so you know what? It's just everyone's opinion is different, so there you have it, all right? But our fans didn't like it, and we didn't like it, so we're kind of in the same ballpark, but that's all right. But listen, guys, you can head over to trektalking.com. That's right, trektalking.com. I keep saying it because I love it. TrekTalking.com for all your Star Trek news. You can find all of our previous shows there. You can find links to all of our media presence, a link to our Facebook page so that you can vote on the episodes as well. Or you can leave us a voicemail. Just click on the little microphone in the corner and say, hey, you guys are awesome. You're great. My name is Joe, and I'm listening from Yugoslavia, whatever. And I will play those sound bites on the next podcast. So that's another way for you guys to interact with us. So I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim, letting you know that on next Thursday, we'll talk about the episode of Lower Decks that was on tonight. And I don't have I think Monday we're going to be doing Comic Corner. We're going to be doing Star Trek Picard because we didn't get to do it last Comic Corner. And Lower Decks, guys,
yeah. Why don't we do issue two of Lower Decks. We did issue one of Picard Lower Deck. Let's do issue two of Picard Lower Decks.
So we'll do Lower Decks number 2 and Picard number 2 on Monday, same bat time, same bat channel. All right, I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim, and I want to say thank you to our very own Charles for hanging out and truck talking with us tonight. Thank you, Charles.
Oh, thank you. Always enjoy talking Trek, even if we have a little disinterest in an episode for a change.
It happens. It happens. And we also want to say thank you to our very own donut/macaroni guy himself, David, for hanging out and Trek talking with us tonight. Thank you, David.
Also known as Neelix Point 2.
Neelix Point 2.
Yeah, really fun.
Yup, absolutely. And, of course, thank you so much to our very own Paul, the toy/wine guy. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, Paul.
It was fun, man. It was a good time. A lot of interesting perspectives colliding. Always a good time.
Yeah. Always fun. And a lot of stuff came out of New York City Comic Con. Shatner says, well, lots of great birthdays. And you guys can do it all again next Thursday. Make sure you go over to TrekTalk.com. Check out that awesome website and let me know what you think about it. I spent days working on it, so I'm curious to know what you guys think about it. All right, guys, I'm your most excellent host saying hailing frequencies are closed. And remember, be good to each other, stay safe, and Star Trek fans are the best fans. Good night, everybody.
Live long and prosper.
Good night, all. Feel better, Charles.
Let's see what's out there.